have some movies you'd like us to review?
Tell us!
Send us an email at driveinmovieshr@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at drivemoviespod, or on Facebook at Hogan and Rudy.
Let us know what to watch next.
And now, on with the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Driving Movies with Hogan and Rudy. We are now in March, which is a whole new section of movies that I still have yet to pick. But we do have a matchup for you this week, and that is Big Trouble in Little China, going up against The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. Let's get into the details on these, starting with Big Trouble in Little China. That is from what year?
1986.
You are correct, 1986. Nice. That is directed by John Carpenter, written by Gary Goldman, David Weinstein, and it lists that it's an adaptation by W.D. Richter. Remember that name, W.D. Richter.
Okay.
That stars Kurt Russell as Jack Burton, Kim Cattrall as Gracie Law, Dennis Dunn as Wang Chi, James Hong as David Lo Pan, and Victor Wong as Egg Shen. That is going up against The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension from what year?
1984.
You got this one too.
Oh, I guess.
Back okay. to back. That is directed by W.D. Richter. Got some crossover here. Written by Earl Mac Rauch. That stars Peter Weller as Buckaroo Banzai, John Lithgow as Lord John Worfen, Ellen Barkin as Penny Pretty, Jeff Goldblum as New Jersey, and Christopher Lloyd as John Big Boute. And I will turn it over to you now to go over what these movies are about.
Do you want the actual description or the Rudy description of?
Oh, I need the Rudy description okay. for these. So. Okay. I've been waiting all day for this.
You have Buckaroo Banzai. I think that's about, I think he's a rock star, and I think he's a surgeon of yes. some type, but he's also an adventurer. And he goes on this adventure because he discovers how to travel through solid objects, which when they were explaining this, I had no idea what they were talking about. But apparently you can travel through solid objects, and there's things in these objects, like mountains or a rock, and these alien-type things. I guess they are aliens because there's a spaceship. Kind of look like humans, unless you get zapped, and then you're able to see the aliens. And they're trying to steal this device that he created, that Buckaroo Banzai created, to travel to the 10th planet, I think.
Planet 10, yeah.
Planet 10. That's it. It's a weird movie. We'll get into that. We'll get into it. And then you have Big Trouble in Little China, which is about Jack Burton, who's a truck driver in Chinatown in San Francisco. And he's taken his friend, who owns a restaurant in Chinatown, to the airport to pick up his fiance, who has green eyes. But she gets captured because of her green eyes and gets taken to underground Chinatown, which is actually some kind of like mystical dark magic realm where there's this sorcerer who's been trapped for 2,000 years without a body who needs to marry a girl with green eyes. So it's up to Jack Burton and his crew to save her.
There you go. That was pretty good. You did a good job with those two.
Hey, thanks.
So let's get into the nitty gritty, starting with the writing. What did you think about the writing in these two?
They take a goofy approach to a sci-fi. But there's a big distinction between the two. Big Trouble in Little China does everything right. And The Adventures of Buckaroo, I feel, miss a lot what they're going for. It's almost too goofy in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. It's almost too much. And I get it, they have a lot of jokes in there, but most of the time I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai was, the story was super goofy. And in that sense, it was kind of fun. Because it wasn't like a serious movie. you know, you're kind of following along what's happening, and you didn't know what was going to happen next because it was just kind of all over the place at some points. But it does feel like the story is missing sections. Like, yes. It feels very choppy. And I don't know if that's intentional or or if it's just not written well. I mean, I didn't hate the writing. I didn't always follow it 100%. I was a little bit confused kind of going through it. But it's just a silly movie, and I don't think it's meant to be like deep, and you really got to think too heavily into the story. I think they just try to take a sci-fi approach to it. They try to be scientific, but at the end of the day, I think their goal was to just say, this is happening, and now here's this fun action movie that's kind of weird. And in doing so, it works for the style of movie that they made, but it kind of suffers on the writing because you're like, I don't know what's happening or why this is happening.
Yeah, and that made me enjoy it less.
Yeah.
So, but Big Trouble in Little China took the same approach, but they actually had a good story.
And it wasn't one that tried to get too deep, or you didn't have to think too heavily into, what is this device? What exactly does it do? Why does this bad guy need it?
Right.
It's very much more straightforward. Oh, this guy is technically like an evil sorcerer, and he does not have flesh and blood, and in order to do so, he needs a girl with green eyes, and that's how these characters come into play. Everything in between is super weird and silly, and I mean, random things happen in that movie where you're like, oh my gosh, this is just a wild movie at this point. But your storyline at the base is always pretty easy to follow.
Yeah.
And they also do a good job of explaining what's happening because, and this kind of bleeds into characters, Jack Burton as the main character is kind of like the viewer.
Where
things are happening and he's like, what? What is happening? Who is this guy? Why is this thing happening? And you have the supporting characters kind of doing a lot of exposition, I guess, with, you know, who is David Lopan? What? Why does he need the girl with green eyes? You know, why is this girl at the airport? You know, it seems like every question that you could possibly have during this movie is answered in some shape or form by one of the supporting characters, because Jack Burton's usually the character who's like, I don't understand what's happening. Someone needs to explain it right now.
I thought that was fun that they... It's like everyone else knew about this whole different world, this Chinese dark magic, how this sorcerer spirit lives underground, and then, yeah, we're just sitting with Jack Burton like, we're just as confused as he is.
What now?
Yep.
Huh? What'll come out no more? Oh, great stuff. Yeah, I would give my point in writing to Big Trouble in Little China because I think also... It kind of hits that sweet spot similar to Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes.
Where the writing is kind of ridiculous, but it's to a point where it's just fun. And you could tell the writing is fun. You could tell the actors are having fun with the writing and with the characters. And it's just an enjoyable ride.
Yeah. I give my point to Big Trouble in Little China as well.
Nice. Let's segue into characters. What did you think about the characters in these two?
Yeah, we'll just go right into Big Trouble in Little China. Any scene with Jack Burton, I enjoy. Kurt Russell, he can play anything. He makes a really good truck driver. he makes a really good Santa Claus. Better than Tim Allen, you say?
Yeah, that movie sucks.
What else is he? Oh, he plays a superhero in Sky High.
Oh, yeah, he does.
But his scenes... Usually something weird happens to him, like they're going to fight this gang, and he has a gun, and he shoots the ceiling, and gets knocked out. And then everyone else is fighting, and he's laying there. It's like weird stuff like that happens to him, but it makes that movie so much fun to watch.
Yeah, his character is probably one of my favorite movie characters of all time, just because he's relatable in the sense of going through that movie and all the weird things that are happening. He's got the most realistic reaction.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what the hell is happening? You gotta be kidding me. And that's his character through the whole movie. He's there because his friend, Wang, owes him money, but eventually he sticks around, even though it gets pretty dangerous, it gets pretty wild. He's like, no, we're gonna go save your fiance and make sure she's alright. So he's a likable character, he's a funny character, he's an enjoyable character, and Then you have the supporting cast around him, too. You have David Lopan as the villain, who's kind of like a typical mystical kind of villain.
Yeah.
But he's got some funny moments. I love when he first shows up in, like, his old, old form in the wheelchair. Just the banter.
Yes.
The banter between Jack Burton and him is pretty funny. Wang is pretty cool. He kind of gets Jack Burton involved in the mess and Big Trouble in Little China. But he's also a likable character. He's kind of more of the fighter in the team. He takes out a lot of the guys while Jack Burton is knocked out unconscious. You have Kim Cattrall as Gracie Law, who's the love interest. But I think they do a good job with her character, too, where it's not just like, oh, the damsel in distress.
No, yeah.
She kind of is to a certain point, but she's also somewhat independent. And I like at the very end of the movie, this might be a spoiler, I don't care, when they're like, aren't you going to kiss her goodbye? And he like looks at her and he goes, no. and just leaves. I like how it doesn't always have to be like, oh,
yeah.
Now they're together because they spent one night
in
trouble. So I like their character dynamic. But the one character I really like in this movie, aside from Jack Burton, is Egg Shen.
Yeah.
Who's kind of like the tour bus driver who also has knowledge of the mystical realm.
His Egg Fu Young Express or whatever his bus is.
Yep. he's a fun character to throw into the mix as well.
Oh, yeah. That whole crew is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I was surprised in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai how many well-known people are in this film.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it before you mentioned it last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Amazon Prime, if anyone wants to check it out. It's free, if you have Prime. I'm sure everybody does. Some of the characters are fun. Some of them are not. I enjoy John Lithgow, however you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the villain.
The villain, mm-hmm. And then Christopher Lloyd, of course, is a kind of like his henchman.
Yeah.
As the alien. He is, I love Christopher Lloyd.
John Big Boutte. I love that. They say his name so many times, and I swear to God.
It made me laugh every time.
Every time they said his name, it made me laugh.
Peter Weller, I don't know, as the main character, is Buckaroo Banzai. He was fine.
I like Peter Weller as an actor.
Yeah.
Good old RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. But I enjoyed the aliens more, watching their banter.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
They're all named John.
Yeah.
Even the women. And Buckaroo Banzai is trying to explain something to the president. He's like, you mean to tell me the girl's name was John, too?
It certainly had its moments.
Yeah.
What was the name of his band? Buckaroo Banzai and the Hong Kong
Cavaliers.
That's it. I knew it was something weird like that.
Yep.
Rubines it and all. Yes. So the beginning of the movie, like, it opens up to Buckaroo Banzai performing surgery, then, like, jumping into this car where he drives through a mountain,
mm-hmm.
and then takes something from inside the mountain. I was trying to wrap my head around this whole thing.
And then the next scene, he's in a band.
Yeah, you break out and he's in a band, and the Hong Kong Cavaliers.
Yep.
But I think I like Big Trouble in Little China's characters. It's Jack Burton, of course.
Yeah, I think they're just more enjoyable in that movie. I do like the characters in Buckaroo Banzai. I think, like you mentioned, the aliens are fun. Mm-hmm. John Lithgow and Christopher Lloyd, some of the other characters who play smaller roles as well. I like Buckaroo Banzai. I think he was a fine lead. Then you have Jeff Goldblum as kind of a side character to him, who's always enjoyable. I think Jeff Goldblum's always a nice addition to a movie. You have Ellen Barkin, who plays the love interest. Her character's kind of silly, too. I don't know. All these characters are silly in a fun way. Like, it's the writing's kind of bad. The characters are kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it all kind of works for the movie. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
I just remember the one scene where Jeff Goldblum is... They're walking together, him and...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Buckaroo Banzai. And there's just like a watermelon. He's like, what's that watermelon doing here? And it's like just sitting on a machine. And then no one says anything.
Yeah.
And the movie continues.
That's the entirety of this movie is that just random things happen. And that's where I feel like, I don't know if there's just missing pieces to this movie. Like maybe they just edited it too much where they're like, let's keep this scene in, but then cut out the rest of it. Or if that's what they were going for the whole time. And I kind of feel like that's what they were going for, but it just doesn't feel as tightly knit as Big Trouble in Little China is.
Yep. Totally agree.
2 points for Big Trouble?
Of course. 2 points.
Let's go into the music. What did you think of the music?
I think Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai is in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Because that Big Trouble in Little China music was real nice.
You like the 80s synth?
Of course.
Mixed with, like, the Asian kind of undertones?
Absolutely. Do you have the vinyl? Is this on vinyl?
Oh, yeah. Of course I have the vinyl. It's a fantastic soundtrack.
It's, yes. I honestly don't remember Adventures of... I didn't like the song of the Hong Kong Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, eh, this is lame.
I disagree. I actually liked the soundtrack in Buckaroo Banzai quite a bit.
Well, you can have it, then.
Take it! No, I mean, it's kind of the same. It's not quite the same soundtrack as Big Trouble in Little China, but you get a lot of 80s synth and more of a sci-fi. Kind of like it felt like a super low-budget sci-fi score that someone made.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining. Like, I liked the opening theme. I kind of liked the whole band scene when it was their band. And then you had Ellen Barkin as Penny Pretty show up. And I don't know, that scene was just kind of funny to watch because he's trying to sing a song to her. She's crying and he keeps calling her the wrong name. And so she's crying
Peggy.
Even more. Everyone else in the band is like, this is super weird. What is happening? And then she pulls out a gun and is going to kill herself while he's singing the song to her. It's just, I don't know. It's a wacky, wacky movie. And I liked the music during that scene. I thought it was all right. But then, you know what song I really like? Is at the very end, the end credits, when they're all just walking. I don't know why that scene is so enjoyable to watch. And the music that happens during that scene, I could get down with.
Okay.
However, it's still not as good as Big Trouble in China. I will give it lots of praise. I did enjoy the music, but I do enjoy Big Trouble's soundtrack more.
Are we sweeping still?
3-0? Still sweeping. Yeah, Big Trouble. Let's talk about tech.
These look like 80s movies, for sure.
Yes.
Big Trouble in Little China. I don't know why it felt like it was like hazy, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I felt like the whole movie was kind of like in a mist.
Sure.
Maybe it's probably what they were going for. I don't know.
Yeah, like mystical underworld.
Yeah, yeah. Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. It wasn't much cleaner, but it looked a little newer, and it was 2 years older.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
2 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main things I was looking at. I guess there were some cool shots of Buckaroo Banzai. When he's in the car, that's when mm-hmm. I really noticed. Going through the mountain, I guess. Literally in the mountain.
Yeah.
Because he made that machine.
Buckaroo Banzai kind of feels like a super low budget Terry Gilliam film. And Terry Gilliam did 12 Monkeys and The Fisher King and Time Bandits, where you have a lot of like wacky angles, some extreme close-ups. It just kind of reminded me of his kind of style of movies. The one critique I would say against it, well, a couple critiques. With it being an 80s movie, some of the CGI does not...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But it kind of affects both movies. Both movies have some pretty cringy CGI moments. But also with Buckaroo Banzai, I don't know if it's kind of a tag team critique with the writing. In the editing, I think, was just a little too choppy, where it would just go from scene to scene to scene to scene, and you're like, whoa, oh my gosh, what is happening? So it wasn't quite as smooth of a movie to watch. But other than that, the tech was fine. I kind of do like the wacky camera angle shots. I think it makes the movie more interesting to watch. But then in Big Trouble in Little China, that one looked a little more... That one was still cheesy, but it looked a little more big budget.
Sure.
You had kind of some practical designs in the monsters in the walls down in Lopan's lair. You had the Sasquatch-looking monster. A lot of the fight choreography was pretty cool in that movie. You had the storms, the lightning guy, which was pretty cool, and the light coming out of David Lopan. Super cheesy and super dated, but still somewhat cool effects that I think added to the movie. You had some terrible CGI, like the Guardian, which was just the blob of eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Or when one of the storms, Thunder, realizes Lopan is dead and just blows up.
He turns into like a human balloon.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Kind of strange. But I think their editing works. It flows a little smooth. Flows smoother than Buckaroo Banzai. Yeah, I don't know. This one's difficult because I don't think either one necessarily outshines the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the sake of this matchup, I'm going to keep my streak going and give it to Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, I think I'll agree. Those fight scenes, though, in Big Trouble in Little China, they were good, but there were no Jackie Chan fight scenes.
No Jackie Chan. Fair enough.
But I'll still give it to Big Trouble in Little China.
All right. Comes down to the end here. Does Buckaroo Banzai got a shot, or is it in big trouble?
It's in big trouble, because Big Trouble in Little China, I've never seen that before, and that's a really fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
I will certainly add that to my collection.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good movie. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, I just couldn't get into it. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time. And I had to rewatch the ending because I fell asleep towards the end, just because I was not interested.
So I have seen Big Trouble in Little China before. It's one of my favorite movies. I had not seen Buckaroo Banzai. So going into this matchup, I may have been a little biased, but I wanted to see if this movie could match or overtake Big Trouble in Little China, because I had never seen it before, so I didn't know if I would like it or not. And it did not. Big Trouble in Little China is still one of my favorite movies. I enjoy every time I watch it. And it's one of those movies that I could watch at any time. It's kind of like, it's not deep, it's not complex. It's just a fun movie you could throw on. Mm-hmm. You could pay attention to it, you could not pay attention to it, and it's still enjoyable either way. You know, it's not a real heavy movie. And I think with that in mind, too, it's a little bit more accessible, so I'm more inclined to put that on than a movie like Schindler's List, which is a great movie. But I'm not going to just throw it on because I need something to watch.
Yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China, this is a light, fun movie. I throw that on any time of day, whenever, and I'll sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
Buckaroo Banzai, I didn't love Buckaroo Banzai. I didn't hate it. I don't know if it was good or if it was just bad. Like, I'm in between those two, and I don't know what to pick for that one.
Yeah.
I think I definitely would watch it again, because I think there were elements in it that were fun, like Big Trouble in Little China. And that one, while a little bit more complex because it's more sci-fi-y, so they're always trying to do...
Sure.
Talking about different worlds and different contraptions and going through dimensions and all that kind of stuff. Gets a little hazy, especially since they don't really spend time to actually flesh out the story. They just kind of mention stuff. Hey, you go through a mountain and there's things inside the mountain. And that's like that's the only explanation you get. Yep. You're like, okay, I guess.
I have a lot of questions now.
Right. So it can be a little bit heavier of a movie to watch, but I think it's still silly and still a light movie that I could see throwing on again. And I'm curious to see if I do watch it again sometime down the road, will make my mind up on whether I think it's a legitimately good movie or just kind of a one that missed the mark.
Yeah, for sure.
But as it stands, Big Trouble in Little China... Oh my gosh, I can't. Big Trouble in Little China is a very enjoyable movie. And since I gave great movie to 10 Things I Hate About You, I feel like I need to keep that streak going so people aren't like, oh, 10 Things I Hate About You is the only great movie he's ever talked about. No. I'm retconning it's that.
Hogan's favorite movie of all time.
No. I'm going to also give Big Trouble in Little China a great movie seal.
Ooh.
Keep that streak going.
And you don't have next week, sorry?
Oh, my Not gosh. No, I don't.
To be continued.
I will. I'll look at the movies right after this, and I'll send you.
That's fine. The rest Take of your the time. Week.
God, growing up sucks.
Please.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.